right. All right. Guys, how are you doing this morning? Doing pretty good? Sound a little tired, but that's okay. Guys, welcome to Wake Unplugged. We are super glad that you're here with us this Sunday. We hope that you're excited for this summer, the change up just with no chairs and with doing small group after teaching. We hope that you enjoy it. We hope you have a good time. And we hope you learn a lot this summer. And so, just in case you don't know who I am, I've been here for a couple of weeks now, but my name is Luke Barlow, and I am the new programs coordinator here at Wake. And so Cooper McCullough was the old one. He has moved to Waco. He actually gets married today, which is really exciting. Yeah? Which is awesome. And so I've taken his place, and so I will be here with you guys on Sunday mornings. Usually you'll be running the games, but occasionally will be teaching like today. And so I am super excited to be here. I'm super excited to hang out with you guys, get to know you guys, and just to do life with y'all. So for today, for the summer, for Wake Unplugged, we're actually introducing a new series. And so this series is called, as you can see, it's called More to the Story. Yeah, More to the Story. And so the reason that we're doing a series called More to the Story is because we're going to be walking through some of the stories that Jesus told in the Gospels. I don't know if you guys know this, but Jesus actually told a lot of stories. That's a lot of how he did his teaching. And so what we kind of want to say, our tagline is that for More to the Story, we're going to be finding the why behind the Jesus or behind the stories Jesus told. So Jesus told stories, but he didn't just tell stories for the sake of a good story. He was teaching us something. He was teaching us a truth in those stories. And so these stories that Jesus told, they actually have a name. And I didn't come up with this name. It's kind of weird. I don't know where it came from. But the name of these stories are called parables. And so that leads to the question of what is a parable? Why is that the name of it? What, I don't know. Why is it called that? I don't know. But all you need to know is this. It's not complicated. A parable is simply a story that illustrates a truth. So basically all that means is a parable is a story, a made-up story, that helps bring to life some spiritual truth that maybe is kind of hard to understand. Have you guys ever experienced that? Or maybe you learned something here at Wake or in Bible study or at small group, and you're like, okay, that makes sense to me. I get what you're saying, but I don't really know how that changes. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that, right? Like, I don't know how to change my life according to that. And so that's part of the reason Jesus told parables, was it gives us a practical way to understand spiritual truths. Another reason Jesus told parables that Scripture actually teaches us is that he told us parables because they're hard to understand. And so some of you are like, well, why did he do that? That doesn't really make a lot of sense. But guys, I think Jesus' heart in telling parables is that he didn't want to just give you the answer so you could just walk away and not think about it anymore. Like, oh, that was fun. Learned a lot. Now I'm going to go throughout the rest of my day. Guys, I think Jesus' heart in these stories, in these parables, is that he wants us to think about it. He wants us to ask questions of, okay, what does he mean by that? What does this character in the story represent? Why did that character make that decision? How does this play out into my life today? I think Jesus' heart for us is to ask those hard questions and to think and to reflect. And so that's our goal for this series this summer, is that we are going to ask those questions and we're going to try to help you reflect on some of the stories that Jesus told. Does that sound good? Cool. So for today, I'm going to tell you guys about a parable. It's only one verse long, so it's not very long. Very easy to understand and to think about. And Austin actually mentioned this parable 2 weeks ago. He actually read this verse, so you've heard it. And so that's the hope, is that this is an easy transition into this series where you're going to get to practice thinking and talking through these parables. So before I read the parable, this is what I want you guys to do. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about this. If you were on a treasure hunt searching for buried treasure, okay, think about it. And let's say you find the buried treasure. But this isn't just any buried treasure. Okay, this is a buried treasure that was actually made specifically catered to you. So what I mean is this buried treasure isn't just a generic treasure. This is your buried treasure, right? Think about what would be in that treasure. Don't say it out loud, but think about the things that you would like kind of rummage through as you're looking through this treasure chest, the things that mean most to you, that you'd be most excited about. I think for me, some of the things in my treasure chest, I think one is, I mean, obviously some money, right? If there's not money in a treasure chest, it's not much of a treasure chest, if you ask me. So definitely some money. Help me out with some bills. I think I'd probably have some clothes in there. And I know you're like, all right, dude, are you 50? Why do you want clothes? But I'm at an age now where nice clothes is a really nice gift. So I'm talking some really nice clothes would be in that treasure chest. And then I think the last thing is I think I'd have some tickets, like plane tickets. I've always wanted to go to Italy. So I think some plane tickets to Italy would be in there as well. So think about your treasure chest and what you'd have in there. And then as you think about that, I'm going to read you the verse, okay? This is the parable. This is the whole story. So this is it. Here we go. Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. All right, so that's it. That's the story. So for the rest of my talk, we're going to be answering three questions. And so that's how we're going to work through it. And like I said, a parable is a story that illustrates a truth. So the first question we're going to answer is, what's the story? The second question we're going to answer is, what's the truth? And then the third question we're going to answer is, what's the point? Why does it matter? All right, so what's the story? Here we go. The first element to the story is, as we've been talking about, is a treasure, okay? And so the first question I want to ask you guys is, what makes something a treasure? Think about it. I think when I think about a treasure, there's a couple things that come to mind. Again, first one is money. I feel like treasure, at least some monetary value, like it's really valuable. But I also think some things that make treasure treasure is maybe it's a little bit rare, right? I feel like if treasure is really accessible to everyone, then it probably doesn't make it treasure. So I think it's got to be rare. And then another thing I think of is there's got to be some mystery, right? You think about like treasure hunts, like movies about treasure, books written about treasure. And it's always about the legend of the lost treasure. Like there's legend and there's mystery shrouded in it. So those are kind of some of the things that I associate with treasure. But I think there's really two main things that make something a treasure. And we're gonna talk about them right here. And the first one is that it has to have great value. And so think about this story. This man goes and sells everything so that he can buy the field or buy the field with the treasure in it to get the treasure chest. It's got to be worth a lot of money for that to be worth it, right? And then the second thing that makes something a treasure is it moves us to action. So think about what this man did. He didn't find the treasure and go, "Oh wow, that's a lot of money. Best luck to whoever finds that. It's going to be really good for them." He was like, "No, I'm going to go sell everything I have so that I can get this treasure. Like, it is that important, and it motivates me to move and do something so much, so crazy that I'm literally going to sell everything so that I can buy the field." Like, that is a crazy amount of motivation. And I think for something to really be a treasure, it's got to move us to action. So think about that. It's got to have great value, and it's got to move us to action. And so then really the main thing that happens in the story is this man, like we said, he sells everything he has to go buy the field. And so one thing I want you guys to understand is in order for that to be worth it, in order for that to make sense, the value of the treasure has to be greater than the value of everything he has. So let me say that again. The value of the treasure has to be greater than the value of everything else he has in order for this story to make sense. So think about it in terms of like math and monetary value. Let's say this man has got a house that's worth $1,000. He's got some food. He got $100 worth of food. He's got a $10 robe. So that means in all his possessions, he's got $1,110. So the only way it would make sense for this guy, this man, to sell everything to buy the treasure is only if the treasure is worth at least however much he paid for the field and at least $1,110, okay? Does that make sense? It's got to be worth more than everything he has. And so what's the story? The story is simply that a man gives up everything to get the treasure. That's the story. Just one verse long, two sentences, really simple. And so hopefully you understand that. Hopefully you're like, okay, I get it, move on. So we're going to move on to the second point of the second question of what's the truth? What's Jesus actually teaching us about? And so I purposefully skipped over the first few words so that we can talk about it now. Think about how the verse starts. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." So Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. That's what this parable is about. And so some of you might be saying, I don't really know what that means. What is that? Why does he call it that? And that's totally a fair question. So if you don't know, if you haven't read the Gospels, Jesus actually talks about the kingdom of heaven a lot. One of Jesus' kind of taglines for his ministry is, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Like that's kind of the picture that he uses in his ministry. And he actually, in all of his parables, he often is talking about the kingdom of heaven. I bet we'll hear about the kingdom of heaven again, because that's what Jesus focuses most of his parables on. And so what is the kingdom of heaven and why does he call it that? It's not very complicated. It's simply this. We know from Matthew 28 and Philippians 2 and lots of other places that Jesus is actually our king. It talks about in Matthew 28, when Jesus was crucified and then he gets resurrected, he says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." And then in Philippians 2, it tells us that one day, every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. And that is That's what you do for a king. You bow at a king or for a king. And so what Jesus is talking about is he's saying, hey, I am the king, and those of you who follow me are a part of my kingdom. And that is the kingdom of heaven. And in scripture, Jesus goes back and forth. Sometimes he says the kingdom of heaven is here. Sometimes he says it's not here yet and it's coming. But basically all you need to know is at that time, the kingdom of heaven had arrived in Jesus, but it's not going to be fully realized until we're with him forever when he's truly our king, when he's physically our king in heaven. So that's the kingdom of heaven. So all Jesus is talking about when he says the kingdom of heaven, he's saying, when you belong to me, when you are part of my kingdom. So the kingdom of heaven is just Jesus' picture for what it means to belong to him. And so that's what Jesus is talking about. When he says the kingdom of heaven is like, that's essentially the same as him saying, when you understand who I am as king and when you belong to me and my kingdom, this is what it's like. And then we hear the story. So this story about a man finding treasure and selling everything he has is like the kingdom of heaven. So what's the truth? What is Jesus telling us? What Jesus is telling us is that following him is better than everything else. That is the message of this parable. Jesus is saying, when you understand what it really means to belong to me and my kingdom, you will understand that that value is greater than the value of everything else. Everything else. That's what Jesus is saying. So that's the truth. Now, some of you today are probably listening to me and you're hearing, okay, or you're saying, okay, I get it. I get what you're saying. I've heard this before. It's not very complicated, but I don't know if I actually buy that. Like, it sounds good in theory, but I have a lot of good things going for me. And so I don't know if I believe that. And so if that's you, I understand that, because that was me. There's a verse in Matthew 6:21, I forgot to mention it earlier, that says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's a really important verse for this passage, because what it teaches us is that what we see as our greatest treasure is what our heart belongs to. That's what we love. That's the idea of the heart, right? That's what we treasure. And so that's important as we read this. So my question, what's the point? Why should you care? Why should this affect your life? I'm going to read you a verse from 1 John, and I think this will help kind of round out this message and the truth of it. 1 John 2:16 through 17a says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for the things that we see, and pride in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from God, but are from this world, and this world is fading away along with everything people crave. And so what scripture teaches us is that all of the things of this world, not bad things, not always, like, you know, talents and abilities and things like those are good things. But what Jesus is telling us is that those things are not going to last. They're not. And so some of you today are like, well, my life's pretty good. And if that's the case, man, I celebrate that. But I'm just letting you know that if your greatest treasure is your athletic ability, or it's a relationship you're in, or it's the amount of money you have, or it's how people think about you, like, that is not going to satisfy. That's going to fade. And it's going to leave you feeling empty and heartbroken. Like, for example, some of you are probably really athletic, and that's awesome. Like, celebrate that. Work hard. Like, be good at what you do. But you're not going to be athletic forever. Like, you're just not. Like, I'm 24 and my knees already hurt. Like, and I'm, granted, I'm not the most athletic guy, but I'm way less athletic than I was 5 years ago. And I'll continue to become less athletic. Like, that's just part of getting older. And that's true for you. And so if your hope and your value is in how athletic you are, like, one day you're going to be heartbroken. Or maybe some of you are in a relationship that you really love and you're like, nah, my boo. Like, they take care of me. Like, they're never going to hurt me. They're never going to let me down. Like, listen, I'm telling you, if you're in a relationship with a sinful human being like everyone is, they're going to hurt you. Like, they're going to disappoint you. And it's not because they want to, it's because they're human. And so if your value and your worth and your treasure is found in this relationship, like, even if it's a good relationship, if it's your greatest treasure, like, it is going to leave you broken. It's going to leave you unsatisfied. And so that's why Jesus tells us this story. It's because he wants us to realize, like, I'm not saying that the things you have in your life are bad, but if you realized just how good it was to belong to me, like, you would understand that it is far greater than anything else. And if you put your hope in other things, it's going to leave you broken. And so, guys, that's a part of my story, and I want to tell you guys. When I was a freshman in college, And I'll be honest with you guys, this has been a lifelong struggle for me, and it's still a struggle today, is I desperately want people to like me. Like, I desperately want people to like me, and I have to fight it every day. I have to fight to believe what God says about me. And so when I was a freshman in college, I was living under that. That was my treasure, was when people liked me. And so I asked myself, what can I do to get people to like me? And I know a lot of, none of you guys have been in college yet because you're sixth or eighth graders. But one day, if you go to college, a lot of colleges have lots of different clubs, which are just like groups of people that like meet and do things together. I don't know, like they just hang out together and they're usually united over something. And so there was this club in college that I was like, if I join that club, then people will like me. That'll mean I'm cool. They'll give me lots of friends. Like, that's the answer. And so I pursued joining that club so that people would like me. And guys, guess what? I got into the club. And guess what? I did make more friends. And guess what? It didn't work at all. It left me so empty. By the end of my freshman year of college, I was waking up every day asking myself, what do I have to do today to get people to like me? Okay, what do I have to do? I have to maintain this. I have to work for this. And it left me exhausted. It left me tired. And honestly, it wasn't sustainable. It didn't work. I was constantly fighting to like never try to hurt people's feelings and trying to be the funny guy and it just doesn't work. And it left me broken. And it wasn't until the end of my freshman year when I said, okay, God, like, I will make you my greatest treasure. And guys, the truth is, I'm not perfect today and I still struggle, but I have peace. Like, I believe what God says about me. I believe that he loves me and accepts me, and he's transforming me into the image of his son. And like, I rest in that. And so that's what this story is about. Jesus said in John 6:35, he said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. That's the promise in Jesus. And it's not that life's not gonna be hard, but it's that Jesus is gonna satisfy. He's worth it. He's worth everything to belong to him. It's worth everything. There's a guy who understood this in the New Testament. His name was Paul. He wrote a lot of the books of the New Testament. This verse is one of my favorite verses, and Paul wrote this in prison. He had nothing. He was in chains when he wrote this verse. He said, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things, and I consider all things garbage in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him. What Paul was saying is, hey, being in prison with nothing but Christ is better than being free and having all my things. It's better. And like, man, that's the type of faith that I want. So we got to wrap up. And so the question now is, okay, well, what do you do? What do we do? Well, there's a verse in Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first his kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. And he's talking about things that you need. Things will be given to you. Essentially, what God is saying is, God will take care of you. He'll give you the things you need. But seek first his kingdom. And so how do we do that? Man, you guys know. You guys know. It's reading your Bible. Like, seeking to know who Jesus and who God is and what he's done. It's praying. It's going before God and asking him for the things you want and telling him the things that are hard, but remembering and reminding yourself through prayer of what's true. Like, that's how you see. And then you're seeking to love others. Like, this summer, like, seeking to be kind, seeking to hang out with people that maybe don't have as many friends, like, choosing not to, like, make the funny joke that might hurt someone's feelings. Like, that's how you seek his kingdom. Like, you know these things. And so what I want to end with is just to tell you this. Okay, life is hard. It is. And if it's not hard yet, it will be. And I don't say that to scare you. Like, it's okay. But like, you're going to be met with disappointments. But what I want you to know is that even if you're a Christian, you're still going to be met with disappointment. But Jesus is not going to leave you there. He's not going to leave you in your brokenness. He's not going to leave you in your emptiness, okay? He loves you. And if you belong to him, if you give yourself to him and follow him, he will heal you. He'll meet you where you are. He'll grow you. He'll challenge you. And he will fully satisfy. And so, man, that's the message, is Jesus is worth everything. He's worth it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy. God, thank you for the value that is in belonging to you, Jesus, the value in being in your kingdom, that it's worth everything. God, I pray that we would believe this. Lord, I pray that you would show us this through your word and through your world and through your people, God. Show us just how great it is to know you. God, I pray just for all of us here, Lord, that we would continue to think about the things in our lives with perspective, that they don't last, that they will fade, and that they're not, their ultimate value, it's incomparable to the surpassing worth of knowing you, Jesus. God, I pray for our summer. I pray for our small group discussion that we're about to go into. Pray that you would bless us, be with us, and teach us, God. We love you and pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay.